This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
What is the most precious resource that we have in our nation? Is it our forest? Is it the rolling fields? Is it the streams of water that flow through the forest? Is it all of these resources that are buried beneath the ground? I believe the greatest resource we have in our nation today, or any nation of the world, are the children of the world. And children are special to God. God loves children. And today we want to talk about children. And there's a statement made in the Bible that will be the basis of our lesson today. And it's a statement made by one of the brothers of the man by the name of Joseph. Do not sin against the child. Do not sin against the child. Please stay tuned as we discuss that topic today. I'm Billy Lambert. I'm the regular speaker on Getting to Know Your Bible, and we're delighted to have you watching today, especially if this may be the first time you've seen our telecast. And we want you to stay tuned as we'll be discussing this topic about children today. We love children, and I believe all of us want our children to have the very best there is to offer in life. And we want to know how we can help them better today. Now, on Getting to Know Your Bible, we're offering a free Bible correspondence course, and I want to let you know that it is free. And what we're going to do now is pause long enough for you to learn something about the course and how you may receive it.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama, 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
The most precious resource that we have is not the gold and the silver that we may have. It's not the savings account that we have. It's not our home. It's not our cars. The most precious thing that we have in this life are our children. Our children are our future. And we should do everything that we can to help our children. Our children are so precious that God values our children. There's a story in the Old Testament that I think illustrates how we need to be concerned about our children. Jacob had 12 sons, and one of those sons was named Joseph. And he made Joseph a coat of many colors, and because of that, his brothers became envious, and to the point that they decided we're going to get rid of him. They sold him into slavery. They sold him to slave traders, and they took him to Egypt. And now he's in the court of Pharaoh, second in command. And there's a famine in the land that Joseph has been preparing the land for. He had predicted this was going to happen. And that famine reached into the land where Jacob and his sons were living. And Jacob told his sons to go down to Egypt and to get corn enough for us all. And they go down to the land of Egypt, and they find they appear before Joseph, not recognizing him, not knowing that their brother was alive. They thought he was dead. And Joseph explains to them how he's going to help them, but you've got to leave someone behind. I want you to leave the youngest behind. And they said, and then they thought about what they had done to their other brother, to Joseph. And they said, we're verily guilty of what we did to our brother. And I want to read to you now from the 42nd chapter of Genesis, and then verse 22. Spake I not unto you, saying, Do not sin against a child, and you would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. It's really disturbing to think that someone would even sin against a child. But if we just make sort of casual observations in society, we can see that that's happening over and over again. The laws that have been passed are not calculated to help children, but in some cases they're calculated to hurt children or to even eliminate children altogether. How do we sin against children? In a previous telecast, we were talking about this topic of sinning against children. And we observed, if you will remember, that we sin against children by failing to set a good example. That's the very first thing that every father ought to do, every mother ought to do. They ought to set a good example before their children. And you will never bring your children up in the way that they should go until they are able to model their lives after your life. And they ought to see that you're following in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ. But another way that we sin against children is by provoking children. You know, Paul wrote in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and verse 3, and he said, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." Don't provoke your children to anger. Do not provoke your children to wrath. I think there are several things that we can do that would provoke our children to wrath. I think one thing that would provoke a child was to have unrealistic expectations of that child. To expect a child that is 9 years old to act with the same level of maturity of a 19-year-old is to expect the impossible. And there's a reason, because there's a difference in their ages. And we're going to provoke that 9-year-old by expecting him to act like a 19-year-old. I think we can provoke children to wrath by having unrealistic demands of them, demanding they do things of which they are not capable. And when we make unrealistic comparisons, my parents, bless their hearts, compared my grades at school with the grades of my older brother, who was 6 years older than me. And there was a vast difference in the grades of my older brother and my grades. Why, he weighed straight A's. I'll have to tell you, I didn't make straight A's. But my parents thought that I should make straight A's like my brother. I don't know whether that was unfair to me or not, but it sort of provoked me a little bit. And maybe the reason I didn't make those grades, that I just wanted to show them I didn't have to be like my brother. I don't know. And now we'll never know. But I know that we do not need to provoke our children to anger, to wrath. We sin against children when we show partiality between children. I have seen this happen frequently in people's lives with their children. You can almost tell that they favored one child over another. I've seen grandparents show favoritism toward one child over another. And that causes the child that has been overlooked to feel hard toward the child that has received all the attention. That's not right. We need to treat them all fairly. As God is my witness, my wife and I always treat our children with fairness and not treat one over another. We try to do that same with our grandchildren. Treat them all just alike. Of course, I told my granddaughter one day that you're my favorite grandchild. And then I saw my grandson. I said, you're my favorite grandson. And I told my other granddaughter, you're my favorite granddaughter. You see, each one of them is my favorite grandchild. And I mean that with all of my heart. But we can provoke them by showing partiality. Another way we sin against children is by killing them. Since 1973, more than 60 million babies have been killed in America. They call it abortion. I believe it's murder. In the Ten Commandments, we're told, thou shalt not kill. No one has a right to terminate the life of a baby in the mother's womb. Oh, I know people want to talk about what in case of rape, what about incest, what about this, what about the other? And those are things for the parents and doctors to decide, I suppose. But I stand as one who is opposed to abortion as it stands today. People say, well, you know, Brother Lambert, you don't understand. It's my body. And I have the right over my body to do what I want to with my body. But you see, once you become expectant with a child, it's no longer just one body. It's now two. And you're responsible for the other body that's inside your body that is growing within your body. But sometimes we hear this on television, especially people who are screaming at the top of their voices, but it is my body. And I've often wondered if they're not screaming like that so they won't hear the cries of the babies they're aborting, to drown out the cry of their own conscience that they've taken a human life and done away with it like it was a piece of garbage. Reminds me of the practice in the Old Testament of sacrificing children to the god Molech. And the child would be placed in the arms of Molech in the fire under the child. And while the child was screaming because the child was being burned alive, they would beat drums to drown out the cries of the children. And the parents would dance around and others would dance around in jubilation because they've offered a sacrifice to this false god, Molech. And maybe that's the reason there's so much screaming today. Maybe that's the reason there's so much insanity today about this matter. Sin can drive you almost insane when you're doing what's wrong. I believe it is a sin against God, a sin against children to take their lives. We sin against them. We also sin against children when we neglect them. You know, it was Solomon who said that a child left to himself brings his mother to shame. It's unfortunate a lot of children are left to themselves today. I remember several years ago, a young woman who was then teaching school and now retired, told me that 50% of the children in her class in public school were what they referred to it then as latchkey kids. That is, when those children got out of school and they would ride the bus home or they would walk home, they went home to an empty house. They had the key to get in the house. The mother and dad were both at work. 50% latchkey kids. And I know times are tough, and both father and mother are out in the workforce today. And I'm not objecting to that. I'm not objecting to mother working outside the home or the father providing for his family. But children coming home to an empty house when they're in the first grade, the second grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, any grade, seems to be a rather dangerous thing. Let's not neglect our children, especially the spiritual maturity, maturing and growth of our children. You know, if you want to destroy a house, you don't have to get a wrecking ball to come in to tear down that house. You know, all you have to do to tear down that house, to destroy that house, is neglect it. Just neglect it. To destroy a field, you don't have to go out and sow weeds into that field. Just leave it alone. And eventually it will grow up filled with briars and weeds. Neglect it. And destroy a child, all one must do is neglect that child. And we sin against our children when we neglect our children. I know there are parents that do a great job with their children. But one of the greatest gifts you'll ever give your children is not a new telephone. You know, we think we've got to give them a telephone. Every child thinks they need a telephone. They think they've got to have one. Then eventually they've got to have a computer. Then they've got to have a car. Brand new car. They can't drive a used one. It's got to be a new one. I'm just sorry. I don't believe that God expects us to do things for our children except one. And that is to be the trainers of their spiritual, ethical, and moral being. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, and with all of thy mind. And we need to teach our children the Bible. The greatest mistake a parent will ever make is when they neglect the teaching of the Bible to their children. Oh, you say, well, Brother Lambert, I send them to Sunday school, and they go to vacation Bible school in the summer. They even go to Bible camp. Well, that's a wonderful thing. That's great. But what are you doing? You see, it is the parent who has a responsibility for training those children. And we do not do our children right when we neglect to train them and to teach them the Word of God. And we do that day in and day out when we sit down, when we walk by the way, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we ought to be teaching them about God. I would think the first word that a child would learn is not da-da or mama. But the first word a child ought to learn, it would be a wonderful thing if this was the first word, and that's God. Let them learn about God early in their lives. And Solomon said it best, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, well, he'll not depart from it. Why should we avoid sinning against our children? Aren't they just children? What difference does it make how we treat our children? Well, one reason that we ought to be concerned about our children is because they are a heritage of the Lord. In Psalms chapter 127, the psalmist talking about children, he said, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." In Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1, when Eve had received a child, had a child born, she said, "I've gotten a man from the Lord." Our children are gifts from God. They are an heritage of the Lord. That's one of the reasons that we ought to be concerned about the way that we handle our children, treat our children, the way that we help our children grow and mature, never neglecting them. A second reason that we ought to be concerned is because we imperil our souls when we do not treat our children properly. You know, in the 17th chapter of Luke's Gospel, Luke there taught that if you mistreat one of these little ones, it would be better for you that a millstone were hanged about your neck and you were cast into the bottom of the sea. Not only does God take note of it, we're going to pay the price for it in many, many ways. Another reason why we should not want to harm our children is because they are so precious to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 3 said, except you be converted and become as little children, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Children are so precious to Jesus. Jesus loves them, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. They're so innocent, pure. Unless we're converted and become like little children, we can't go to heaven one day. And then again, the way we treat our children is how it will affect their future. Some of you watching right now may have children still at home. Maybe in the first, second grade, grade school, maybe middle school, maybe high school. Regardless of their age right now, we have the opportunity to redeem the time. We have the opportunity to do right by those that are our children in our care. The time is ripe now. I've said earlier in this telecast that children are our greatest resource. But right now, I see that the children of America are under a great threat today. They're under a great threat because of the lack of discipline, because of the lack of instruction. Many of them have absolutely no respect for any kind of authority figure. But here's a question I want us to consider in closing today. How can we keep from sinning against our children? Well, first of all, you need to be the best Christian you can be. The first thing you need to do is make certain that you are a Christian. And you do not become a Christian by just thinking you are a Christian. You say, well, Brother Lambert, I'm good to my family, and I live a clean life, I live a good moral life, and I'm a good citizen, and I always fill out my income tax, and I don't cheat, and I do all things that I know that are right and good. Well, that's a wonderful thing. But you still need to come in contact with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do that by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. To make sure that I'm a Christian, I need to be baptized into the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, into the benefits of that death. It was in dying that Jesus shed His blood. And by faith, when an individual is immersed into water for the remission of his or her sins by the authority of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they come in contact with that blood that washes away all of our sins. Saul of Tarsus was baptized as a penitent believer. And he was told, arise and to be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Have you ever done that? Make your home a Christian home? I was in a revival many years ago, and there was a couple attending the revival, and I asked the preacher about him, and they said, well, they're not Christians. I said, let's go to their home tonight after service. Went over to their home, and I said, you've been attending so well, and you listen so well. I said, Do you have any questions about anything I preach? Oh, no. I said, do you think that I've been telling you the truth? Yes, it's just out of the Bible. It's the truth. Okay. I said, I just want to encourage you to come back tomorrow night. He said, this was a Saturday night when I was there, and the meeting closed on a Sunday night. He said, I won't be there tomorrow because there'll be a football game on, and I don't want to miss the game. I said, we'll get through in time for you to see the game, I promise. He finally consented to coming to the next service, and I said, have you ever thought about becoming a Christian? He says, well, now let me tell you, preacher, I like to hunt and I like to fish, and I do those on Sunday. I said, well, there's nothing wrong with hunting and fishing. I used to, about that time in my life, I was doing a lot of that myself. And I said, but I don't want to lose my soul over hunting and fishing. And I said, you know, you have a lovely wife, and he had several children. They were all sitting there listening to me. And I said, you know, Jimmy, they have a right to a lot of things, but they don't have a right to a silver spoon in their mouth. I don't believe that. But they have a right to a Christian father and a Christian mother. Your children have a right to be brought up in a Christian home. We can keep from sin against our children by making sure they have a Christian home. There's a song I love. It's called, God Give Us Christian Homes. We need homes where the Bible is read, where prayer is had, where people are centering their lives around the Lord Jesus Christ and what He would have them to do in their homes. Well, he finally said, okay. And that next day, he and his wife both were baptized, and they were faithful to the Lord, became a leader in the church, I think, over the years. But you need to make your home a Christian home. That's how you can keep from sinning against your children and bring them up that way. And then we need to love our children and let them know we love them. I never care on a conversation with one of my children but what they hear me say at the end, I love you, and I do. May God help us to bring our children upright, be a Christian, become a Christian today. I want to thank you for watching today. Attend the Church of Christ in your community, and also pick up the phone right now and call for the free Bible correspondence course. Please do that without hesitation. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.
Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214. Join us next time for Getting to Know Your Bible.